Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Quit it now! All right,
welcome into hour number here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith to my right, Johnny Belmer behind the glass. Again, we're here till 2 o'clock. Mount Rushmore Plus One coming up at 1:30. We haven't promoted that. And I believe we'll be back next week. I think I looked at the schedule to see that we are on for next week.
Yeah.
I guess you just look at the Aggies schedule. Like, when the Aggies play at night, we're on. Cool. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure we're back on next week. So, we'll get into some fun sound clips from some people who had some crazy takes in the next segment as well, our leftover segment before Mount Rushmore Plus One at 1:30. But we got to talk about this KD burner, or is it one? Is it a fake? Before we get into the conversation, I think Cam is secretly hoping it's fake. I'm sorry, going to have to burst your bubble here in the segment clip, in the segment, Cam. But let's first hear from Nick Wright, used to work in this market, his take on if the KD files are true.
If it's real, the shit talking on Shingun and his current team is catastrophic. This is so much bigger for KD than the previous burner account stuff.
Yeah.
Veteran presence, like, a leader, the final piece. Again, if this is real, it legitimately damages his team's chance of winning the championship, which is a shame.
All right, so
Thank you, Nick. Before
we move into the next clip, not surprisingly, because it's Nick Wright's job to be hyperbolic, I think he way oversells. Like, I think it's obviously damaging, don't get me wrong, but the Rockets weren't winning a title this year. They're not going to beat the Thunder. I mean, like, they were very clearly in that second tier of the West, to the point where, like, I don't think it's this, it's not what's going to, we're not going to look back here in 6 months and said that what kept the Rockets from winning a title was the KD tweets, like it was, or the text or whatever. Like, it wasn't that. It's bad. I'm sure Alperen and Jabari and some of these other guys are mad at KD. It's not a good look from someone who's 37 and supposed to be a team leader. But it's not what's going to keep the Rockets from winning a title.
Not this year, but I still think, I still agree with Nick Wright's point that if it's true, it is catastrophic. Because one, this team is already having an issue finding its identity without Fran VanVleet. And then you bring in KD, who's supposed to be this veteran leader that's supposed to, at the time with Fred VanVleet,
Elevate
you to a championship team. And now it's like your replacement leader for Fred VanVleet is talking trash about the very team that he expressed wanting to come to. So, like, it's not just ramifications for this season, but KD is on a 2-year deal, so he's supposed to be back next year. And if you have a healthy Fred VanVleet, then, yeah, you're back on that track to chase for a title. But how is that going to work when one of your leaders in the locker room
is dropping R words
is talking trash about your key pieces that you're supposed to build around?
All right, so is it true? Well, Kevin Durant got asked that this week. I think this goes shout out to Kelly Eco. I don't know. This clip won't convey what happened at this media shoot around. So his media shoot around, or the media after shoot around, that is, starts like it's just silence to the point where the media person's like, any questions for Kevin Durant? And finally, I think it was Kelly Eco goes, all right, what about the KD? Like, what about the burner cat? Like, everyone was wanting someone else to be the person, because you have to ask them. But everyone was wanting someone else to take that bullet. So let's hear KD's response to being asked that question about the alleged burner account.
I know you got to ask these questions, but I'm not here to get into Twitter nonsense. I'm just here to come see and keep it pushing. But I know I get to what happened.
Give them your mic.
My teammates over there, we've been locked in the whole season. Enjoyed our break and had a great practice today. Looking forward to the road trip.
All right. So you know what he didn't say in that? How long was that clip, Johnny? Was that like 20 seconds? 25? About, okay, he's nodding his head. You know what he didn't say in that clip, Cam? It wasn't me. He never said the words.
He also didn't say it was me.
That's true. But he never said it wasn't me. There was nowhere in that. So he knew this question was coming for what, about a week before he asked it? He had time to think about what he was going to say. And his response was not to say he didn't do it.
Maybe because he, in his heart, knows he didn't do it.
Are you ready to see a man do mental gymnastics right now, Johnny? Cam is trying to find a way that this wasn't KD. Look, I can't reveal. I know this is kind of Bush League because I can't tell you who told me this, but I received a text of a media member who has seen the like unedited. Keep that music going, Johnny. Has like seen the unedited group text that this came from. And he'd already seen these before they came out, so they weren't fakes. Like it's Kevin Durant. It's. I feel
awkward, and I'm not even in the locker room.
Yeah,
like my anxiety just increased, and I don't even have to deal with these fools.
I get the idea that Kevin Durant's gonna. First off, kudos for him being respectful of the question to be asked. Like he could have just tried to buried the reporter that
could have been an ass.
So, yeah, he wasn't an ass about it. So, you know, kudos, tip of the cap to that. Like, he handled that part really handled the whole thing professional. But what he didn't do in the entire thing was say, it wasn't me. Like, I think that speaks volumes. Like,
yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're given a week to think about what you're going to say. With all the ramifications that Nick Wright talked about, that we've talked about, you're talking about, hey, this could damage you into next season. He's got a week to think what he's going to say to defend himself to that, and he never said it wasn't me.
He got a whole week, but even your natural response, if it wasn't you, should have been, I didn't do that. That wasn't me.
That was me.
Like, immediately.
It's AI. It's Photoshopped. You could, there's 1,000 lines you could say, or truths, depending on the situation. But I just think if it wasn't him, he would find, like, especially since he followed up with, like, I'm not here for that Twitter nonsense. Bro, go through Kevin Durant's timeline. How many times is he quote tweeting people who didn't at him? Like, he lives for Twitter. Not like the only thing in his life more important than basketball is Twitter nonsense. So you can't sell me on the idea of Kevin Durant saying, I'm not here for this Twitter nonsense. You constantly quote tweet people who didn't at you. You're searching your name. You can't sell me that you're not here for Twitter nonsense.
Oh, no, he very much is. And I've witnessed first count because I have a buddy who I've known for a while. We're in the same, like, fantasy basketball league, and he's big into basketball and on Twitter.
Nerd.
And thank you. I'm actually in first place. And he actually went on Twitter, I think.
I love that you worked that into a pat on the back.
You're right. It was either, like, last year or 2 years ago, because he's a Lakers fan, but he follows the Warriors. But he mentioned KD in a quote on Twitter, and within like a day, KD had responded, and tweet had gone like viral. And KD was coming at my boy, even though my boy wasn't like directly throwing an insult.
Did your boy Adam?
Yes.
Oh, he did Adam. Okay, yeah, well, that changes the equation a little bit. Like,
how many times do athletes get hashtagged or added and they don't respond?
Even if you at them, like, the chances, like, his notifications obviously have to be
through the roof.
Like, the chances, like, as he's scrolling, he sees yours, it's still pretty small. But the fact that he's constantly quote tweeting people who didn't even at him. So not only is he not seeing you know, it's not even just like the 1 out of 1,000 people that added you. Like, you're going even beyond that to the people who didn't even at you. I just can't buy that KD isn't, quote, here for the Twitter nonsense.
I think he is. I have an idea.
Okay.
Why don't we see, since he responds to everybody.
Oh, should we all tweet
as
him?
A show, yeah. Why don't we at KD and
do
see
we,
what we can.
Do we want to do, like, one tweet that we kind of craft together, or do we want to send our individual tweets?
You want to bombard him or send one?
It's only three of us. That's not really a bombardment.
Hey.
But maybe the tweet should be the same, just to see, you know. Well, maybe I don't know if we could talk about or talk it out because we're up against.
I'm actually trying to see if I can get that tweet sent to me that my friend.
Oh yeah, please interacted do. Like, with maybe we keep it simple. Like we just say, "Hey KD, was it you?" It's just to see if he responds. But again, don't add him. Just say, "Hey Kevin Durant, was it you?" The three of us can see that and see if he responds to it.
When the last time these burner accounts with him came out, obviously he was going to be asked the same question.
And he admitted that that was him.
Well, that's a good sign. Around. At least he admitted it last time, and time he's not admitting
it. Not saying anything.
Maybe he's changed.
I think he probably knows we all know, and it's not worth really.
I think he's not willing to admit it this time because it's far more damaging. To your point earlier,
so much more.
Like he's directly crapping on teammates he's still playing with for this season and beyond.
And poor Jabari.
An R word on Jabari, man.
And they literally talked about how they were trying to like somewhat form Jabari into like the Kevin Durant.
Not anymore.
Jr., and it's just like, not anymore. Welp.
You know, okay. I think you mentioned like. Like this has ramifications into next year. You know how we find out if this was or wasn't true? What they do in the offseason?
Oh.
Like yeah. if they move on for not that they I think this is the lowest possible odds, but if they move on from Kevin Durant, that tells you it was him.
I mean
if they trade Jabari Smith, I think that tells you this was real. Like there are a number of things. Now there could be basketball reasons to trade a Jabari Smith, but just look at what moves they make in the offseason. Like does it directly reflect someone that was in these tweets from the burner account, or does it not? Like if they make no moves involving Jabari or Alperen or any of the people mentioned in these burner tweets, then maybe it wasn't real. Or they're just grown enough men to have squashed the beef and moved on. But if they do make moves that all seem to correlate to the people we're talking about, then it was probably true.
It's the NBA. They're divas. They're not squashing this.
Maybe so. Yeah. Like, certainly Kevin Durant at age 37 but, still hasn't matured to the point of being beyond this. So
I mean,
you're right.
My thing is I think there's always going to be talks around trading Jabari. So I don't want it to like directly correlate to the KD thing. But if it does come out that these are actually his tweets, can you even bring KD back next year, knowing that he basically talked trash about your head coach?
Well, that's kind of what I was talking about, like if Jabari gets moved. Now, again, like you said and like I said previously, like there could be just a basketball reason you move Jabari. Like he doesn't rebound enough, although he had a nice streak recently. Or, you know, you don't like whatever about his game. But, like, I could see, like, if this is real, they just remove the people that he was talking bleep about.
Yeah, but that's two of your youngest core players. Like,
well, I don't think they would trade Jabari and Alperen. I think it'd just be Jabari.
Yeah, and I would much rather trade Jabari than Alperen.
I mean, I think
Alperen.
Ime's got to have a conversation, and Rafael Stone's got to have a conversation with that group of people behind closed doors. Like, can you guys squash this? You good? And if not, then you move one or two of them. But, you know, well, that's to me, again, that's, I think, how we – Kevin Durant, Alperen, Jabari, they're never going to stand in front of a microphone at shoot-around and tell us what happened. We'll find out what happened, I think, by, one, the Rockets' trades or lack of trades in the offseason, and, two, when eventually one of these players is on a different team and they start to hit the podcast circuit, that's when we find out our answers.
Oof. Gotta love a good podcast.
Hypothetically, Jabari Smith Jr. is on a different team in 5 years. He starts going on podcasts. He's talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, everything comes out in the NBA.
Exactly. That's when we'll find out. All right. We got some fun audio to get to next from Mad Dog Russo, from Colin Cowherd, and a potentially drunk reporter in Australia. We'll get to that and more when the bullpen returns. ESPN Radio 97.5.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
1, 2, 3, go! My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
This is The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back into the bullpen. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 97.9 HD2 with you here until 2 o'clock. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, and John Belmer here with you. So our leftover segment, things that won't take a full segment, but we're going to have some fun with them because they are a bit ridiculous. I mean, you guys have all heard by now the story of the Major League Baseball Players Union head, Tony Clark, the former Major League Baseball player, getting the boot because he slept with his sister-in-law, who was also employed by the Players Union, right?
God, yeah.
Well, as you would expect, Mad Dog Russo, who talks a lot of baseball, how he's got a show on MLB Network, he was talking about this situation with Tony Clark and had a interesting perspective on the scandal.
That it was due to an inappropriate relationship with a sister-in-law who, you know, is in her 50s. What's so inappropriate about that? I don't understand. I mean, you know, this happens all the time, this stuff. I mean, why would that be considered inappropriate? It's his sister-in-law. All right, so it's his brother's wife. I mean, I guess it's inappropriate, well, but maybe isn't that a family matter more so than is a union matter?
Mad Dog Russo, I don't agree with you, but tip of the cap, sir. That is a hell of
nice
a
try.
Take.
Nice try.
That is a hell of a take.
What have you been up to, Mad Dog?
I think that's my first question. It's like, how many times has Mad Dog Russo slept with his sister-in-law?
Yeah.
Is that a problem? Well, I think the funny thing, maybe he didn't know this yet, although I don't know how he couldn't have, because it came out in like the very first report, but for him to say, well, it's a family problem, not a union problem. It's like, she works in the union.
They both do.
Yeah, they both do. So it is, in fact, a union problem as well. So, yeah, that was... I
like how he threw out the age and made it seem like, she's in her 50s. What does it matter?
This thing happens all the time.
Everybody sleeps with their sister-in-law.
I will say firmly, I don't know anyone that slept with their sister-in-law. I mean, maybe they have, and they just didn't tell me. And not that they were like, I don't know who would go brag. Hey, man, I slept with my sister-in-law. Like, no one would brag about that necessarily.
I can't, but
like,
I would.
I've never heard. I don't know anyone that. But Mad Dog Russo's acting like everybody's sleeping with their sister-in-law.
Like, this is just a common. What is this, Game of Thrones? Just,
yeah.
Everybody's sleeping with everybody?
I don't even have a sister-in-law, so I'm
I'm good.
I am. Johnny doesn't. Hey, this show can guarantee we will never sleep with our sister-in-law because none of us have a sister-in-law.
Well, one day, hopefully, the goal.
Does Sean have a brother?
He does, but he's much younger. He's 10 years younger than Sean. So, also, Sean, no sister-in-law. So, there we go. Yeah. Congratulations, guys. We will never be Tony Clark.
We're a moral show.
We are a moral show. All right. Next bit of nonsense. Let's go to Colin Cowherd, who is he is a connoisseur of the fine art of hot takery. I don't even want to call it a hot take, but had this thought on Indiana football.
But I argued this. If you take Mendoza out, they do not beat Ohio State. They don't beat Miami. I don't know if they win at Autzen, and they were...
Penn State. They lose to Penn State.
They lose to Penn State, and I don't know if they beat Iowa. I think they were tied with Iowa in the fourth.
Okay. Yeah. If you remove the starting court... I mean,
the
I don't
Heisman
know.
Trophy
I don't, I don't
winner.
Know. Yeah, if you well, not even Heisman Trophy winner, just average starter. If you remove a better than average starter off of any college football team, they're gonna lose more games. They're gonna lose some games that they won close. Like I don't understand. Like I respect the hot take artistry that Colin Cowherd puts out there, even though I don't often agree with his opinions. But I don't even know what point he's trying to make. Yeah, you win less games if you don't have a Heisman winning quarterback. I mean, what's the point he's trying to even make there?
I don't even know what he was trying to. Yeah, what is he even trying to argue?
Know. All right, let's move on to something a little more fun here. So this lady that we're about to hear had to give a news report after we think she'd had a few. This lady's from Australia. I'm bringing up the tweet, see if I can give you her name because I forgot what it to quote The Rock, it doesn't matter what your name is. Oh, it's Danica Mason. So she's a popular Channel 9 sports reporter and a rugby league host, apparently, and had to appear on morning television but struggled to get her words out while covering the Winter Olympics in Italy. Let's give it a listen. Is she drunk?
Like, literally? The price of coffee over here is actually fine. It's more the price of coffee in the US that we are going to have to get used to. I'm not sure about the iguanas. Where are we going with that one? But anyway, let's get into today's sport because there is plenty happening back home. We're going to start off with some actual Brisbane Broncos gearing from the actually their trip to the US, the UK rather, because Reese Walsh has stolen the show. He, of course, did that in the last year's Ashes series, crowning for four tries and claiming England's fans, but returned to the UK just 3 months following that UK club challenge.
The guy is drunk!
Thank you, Kevin Harlan. I don't know, she started talking about the price of coffee in Italy, then she talked about iguanas, and then she got into what I think her news report was supposed to be about, but I couldn't follow a coherent thought. It was just rambling. Like, it wasn't the worst slurring I've ever heard.
It was pretty bad, though, still.
But it was still bad, and, like, it just was not coherent whatsoever.
She was either drunk or having a stroke.
Okay.
One of the two.
Johnny votes she was drunk. Cam, you think she was drunk?
Even after the iguana comment, I was like, oh, it's Australia. They drink. There's iguanas, whatever. She's
Are there
fine.
Iguanas in Australia?
I don't know.
I think that's a South American thing.
Then once I started to not understand any direction of where she was going, I realized, you know what? I've been here, drunk.
It was a familiar thing for you, huh?
But you've never had to give a report at the Winter Olympics in Italy while drunk.
Absolutely not.
No.
I never did that.
Has Irish Cam ever had to give a drunken report?
Like, we can make that happen.
What would Irish Cam say about iguanas while reporting live from the Winter Olympics in Italy?
Irish Cam would have nothing to know about the iguanas. Don't know what they are.
Doesn't know what they are. Well, that's. I'm sorry.
All we have is potatoes and sheep in Ireland.
Well, and famine.
Well, we used to have potatoes.
Yeah, you used to have potatoes. Shout out to the famine. Took out the potatoes. All right, so you guys hear that Floyd Mayweather's coming out of retirement?
He retired?
Wait, yeah. Who's he fighting?
Oh, well, okay, so there's two answers to that. One, he's fighting Mike Tyson, but that's an exhibition. Oh, he's coming out, he's going to fight Mike Tyson this summer in an exhibition, and he's saying after that fight, he's going to return to, like, for real professional boxing.
Oh, so your warm-up fight is against 75-year-old Mike Tyson.
He's in his 60s, settle down.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah, don't age the man.
Okay, 60-year-old Mike Tyson.
But a guy who could barely stand up against Jake Paul is now going to go fight Floyd Mayweather, but it's not a real fight.
No, it's exhibition.
We know what these are. Like, they're just going to dance around and throw half-speed punches at each other and get claps occasionally and collect their paycheck and move on.
I mean, it seems like that's how a lot of Floyd's last couple fights have been, a lot of dancing and stuff. So,
well, to that point, I don't know if you guys know the answer to this. I happen to. I remember watching this fight at a movie theater when it happened. But
10 o'clock?
Well, I mean, yeah. No, I can't watch it at 10 a.m.
You said movie theater.
You're right. You're right to assume that if I'm going to a movie theater, it's at 10 a.m. But the boxing promoters aren't putting fights on at 10 a.m. to cater to
you?
To weirdos like me, yes. No. Do you remember his last fight that counted towards his professional boxing record?
Was it Pacquiao?
No, it was after that. John, you remember?
I do not.
It was Conor McGregor in 2017. Literally the day before Harvey hit. That was his last boxing match that counted against his record.
And I remember that was not a good fight either.
No, he dominated McGregor. McGregor, I mean, as you would expect, McGregor had a decent stand-up game for a UFC guy, but that's levels behind one of the greatest skilled boxers of all time.
And now he's an actor.
Right. But yeah, so I he hasn't had a real professional. Now, he's done lots of exhibitions. He had an exhibition against Logan Paul, Jake Paul's brother. But he hasn't had a real professional fight since 2017.
But it doesn't make sense. If you can make money off these exhibitions, why are you even thinking about putting your record up to risk losing the perfect record again?
Because Mayweather, even when he was, for the most part, I'm not saying never, but Mayweather, even when he was fighting for real with matches that went against his record, he was very protected, right? He fought De La Hoya, but he fought him at the end. He fought Canelo, but he fought Canelo when Canelo was super young and not ready for it. Although I still think he beat Canelo in both of their primes. He fought Pacquiao, but how long did he make his way for that fight? He waited till Pacquiao was... He fought Sugar Shane Mosley, but when Sugar Shane Mosley was at the end. Although Sugar Shane tagged him once, it was, I think, the second round of that fight. The only time I can remember from that point forward where Floyd actually, his knees buckled. Like, he almost went down. Shane caught him with a punch, and Floyd nearly went down. But, again, he fought Sugar Shane, like, at Sugar Shane's tail end of his career. So, point being, like, Mayweather's always been a guy that's been very protective of his record and manages, like, when he fights guys. Like, he's going to be strategic of... to Johnny's question, like, I don't think he's actually going to put the record in jeopardy because he's going to be very strategic about who he fights.
Yeah, he's going to fight somebody that's over the hill or
way too young.
Way too young.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the answer. Let's do one more thing, and then we'll get into our Mount Rushmore plus one. Pull this list up here, guys, in the Google Docs. So there was a report by the U.S. Department of Education of the 20 most dangerous college campuses in America. I was surprised by number one. Number one, do we have the Aggie Warhim ready to play? They play at 7 o'clock tonight. Hopefully all the fans keep their heads on a swivel. But the number one most dangerous campus in America, the Texas A&M, appropriately, fighting Aggies.
I was shook by this.
Yeah, I was surprised. Now, admittedly, I'm not in College Station every day, but when I do go, like, I never felt like it was dangerous.
No, I mean, all the times I went, like, when I used to cover A&M football here, I would walk around at the end of the games and totally fine. My sister went there for 4 years, never had any incidents. So, but it's interesting because it's coming from the Department of Education, so I want to know exactly what factors.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's just, like, arrest on campus or maybe, like, violent, maybe assaults plus DUIs or something.
I mean,
if it's
alcohol related crimes, then I can definitely see it. But as far as like actual like violent crimes, like we said earlier, like off air, I'm like the fact that U of H being in third ward is 15 spots below A&M.
Yeah,
U of
H for the record is number 16 on this list. Those are the only double checking. Those are the only two Texas schools on this list.
To be honest. The schools at the top of this list, I never would have thought. Yeah, Utah.
Cal Berkeley?
Grand
Utah?
Canyon? Like
UC State. Who's violent in San Diego?
Exactly.
Go to the beach, bruh.
Like, Iowa?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I need to dig into this.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. There's a lot of UC. There's UC San Diego, UC Davis, UC Irvine, USC. California's got some crime, apparently. According to this list.
Well, yeah.
I was surprised, though, to see I'm not even an A&M fan. I was surprised to see A&M on this list. But, I mean, we do have to remember that they had over three times the amount of fan ejections plus arrests than points scored in that game against Miami.
Great.
So maybe the answer was there for us all along. Sorry to take that shot there at the end.
But those were all alcohol-related.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe the U.S. Department of Education knows what they're talking about here. Maybe they know ball. All right, we got to get out because on the other side of the break, it is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Don't go anywhere.
Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. Welcome into Mount Rushmore Plus One, the award-winning, game-changing segment that's forever changed the landscape of sports radio. And we'll get Cam, John, myself, Sean Mapes, Andrew Carlson, RJ Saunders, Josh Evans, AJ Russ, and a host of Joe George and a host of others into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. And far less, had to say this part quieter because it's down the hall, 27 years it took those bums, John and Lance, to get into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
For shame.
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance. I mean, he's literally right down the hall. Do you think you can hear me right now, Sly?
No.
Calling him a bum?
I
say bum with all due respect.
Who knows it's not me?
It's a term of endearment. I don't know. I can't tell you why it's a term of endearment, but just trust me.
And I might have to see him later tonight. So.
Yeah. So keep your head on a swivel. You thought the A&M campus was dangerous. Lance might be pissed off and take a swing.
That's a little more scary.
Yeah, you give up a size advantage there, Cam. You're gonna have to.
Yeah, he's a little taller than me.
All right. Anyone want to go first? Who's going first here?
Sure.
We're all looking at each other. Cam's going first. There's our volunteer. Cam, lead us off here. What do you got?
Mine is in honor of the cook-off coming up.
Oh, nice.
Which I'm excited to attend.
Okay.
You go every year?
I do go every year. However,
like,
this year...
Like, one particular... Like, see, I don't really know how... I know there's, like, private parties that go on. Is it all... I don't really know how this works. I don't go very often. Is it all private parties, or is there, like, a public aspect?
No, so for the cook-off, you can still... go to like their carnival and like the livestock and stuff.
Right.
But to get into like a lot of these tents, you have to pay for like an actual like wristband.
Okay.
So a lot of the tents,
you can just pay money and get in. You don't like they're not all just like private parties.
It's not invite only.
Yeah. Some of them are like invite only, and then some of them are if you know somebody, you can pay them and okay. You can get in. So. But first time going on a Thursday. Usually I go on a Saturday, but I can't deal with that nonsense again this year. So I'm going to go.
Are you getting too old for that bleep?
No, it's just because I went last year. It gets more crowded, more things happen. And then by the third day of the cook-off, there's a lot less like premium alcohol and like food.
So you're saying it becomes the A&M campus is what you're saying.
Could be. So I'm going to go on Thursday where it's the U of H campus at 16. So mine is rodeo food that I would leave my tent for and pay for.
Oh, okay.
So, and some of these are new.
Now, these are all things you've had or like same things you've seen on like a website that they're advertising?
Two of these I've had and three of these are apparently like new food options this year. So, the original, the one that I've always loved, turkey leg. I will make sure that I always buy at least one or two turkey legs every time I hit the cook-off.
Stuffed or not stuffed?
Not stuffed.
Wrapped in bacon or not wrapped in bacon?
I actually haven't seen one of those.
I don't know if you're going full Ron Swanson.
My man.
Yeah.
If they have one, it was might as well.
Yeah, there was I think it was when they did the Harvest Festival. He had a bacon-wrapped turkey leg.
He also went to some award show just
the bacon-wrapped shrimp. He said it was my favorite shrimp. Food.
wrapped around my wrapped other favorite, my
second
food.
Favorite food. Yeah. I've had this before, churro bowl sundae.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, you can continue, but stop the list. Yeah. I'm sold. Yeah. So the bowl is churro? They take like churro dough and turn it into a bowl?
From what I remember, it was more like vanilla ice cream, but then it had a bunch of like chopped up like churro pieces.
I'm still
like,
in. Yeah. I'm still in. Churros are a perfect dessert.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So these next three are new. I've never had them. The first one is a brisket cheese and brew stuffed pretzel.
Hell yeah.
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 I looked at the picture online too and I was like, oh.
Shut up and take my money.
I'm in there. Yeah. Take my $20. Chicken fried lobster. It sounds so weird, but I think...
I'm assuming that costs $5 million, but I'd still like to try it.
I would, yeah, I gotta try it. Hopefully I can find somebody to share it with. Then the last one, brisket cheese curd tacos.
Oh,
that sounds good.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's a winner. I would mess that
up. There's a list, I think it's on like Prawn or something, of all the new like food options, and some of them are... I mean, if I had all the money in the world, I would hit every single one.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. All right, Johnny, your Mount Rushmore plus song, sir. What is it?
All righty. So this last week, I was doom scrolling on Twitter like KD does, and I came across...
No, he's not here for the Twitter nonsense.
Oh, well, apparently he is, regardless of what he wants to tell us. And I seen a post that I thought was interesting. It was a big picture of Jameis Winston smiling, and it said, if aliens were to come to Earth... Who would you choose to represent?
I think I retweeted that same tweet.
It may have been. I seen it for you. Yeah. And I remember we did the Jameis Winston for president thing before, and that kind of kicked off in my head. So this is my Mount Rushmore plus one of the people that I would choose as my representative to meet the aliens they showed
just
up.
Just tell us the final three, because obviously Cam and I are one and two. So just tell us the final three.
You and Cam are like 100 plus on the list if I kept going, okay?
Right. I would have at least had you in my top 10.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I'd have you 11.
There's a lot of people on this
earth.
I
plead the fifth.
Number five, I went with somebody that's fun. This TV show is hilarious, going all over the place, meeting new people already. So just a step up to aliens, Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
I think would be a great representative.
That's a great nomination.
Number four, I went with more of a mainstream actor, but he has experience with aliens. Will Smith would be my number four.
Is there some tension there? If Will Smith meets the aliens, they might say, maybe. Welcome to Earth and punch him?
Hey, maybe. They may have, seen his track record with the aliens.
I'm saying, in the documentary Independence Day, like, he punches an alien and tells him, welcome to Earth.
Yeah, he did.
there might be some tension there, is all I'm saying.
It might be. Number three, this gentleman works with animals on a regular basis and has a famous father you might remember. Robert Irwin.
Oh.
What's a step up from working with animals to, the aliens? So I'm sending him out as a representative.
That's a well-thought option.
This is a wild list so far. We went from Marshawn Lynch to, now I'm already forgetting.
Will Smith and Robert Irwin.
From football player to actor to animal wrangler. This is a journey. I'm appreciating it, Johnny. Go ahead.
Number two, I was trying to think of who I'd want here, and I thought, I want a big, like a huge person. I just want somebody with presence, so I chose Shaq. Not The Rock, but you could have very well been The Rock.
Okay, I like that.
And number one...
You're hoping that Shaq, intimidates the aliens?
Not necessarily.
Like, into being peaceful?
He's a joyful big, so... That's true. Necessarily intimidation, but anybody who meets Shaq is not mad they met Shaq.
You hand him some Papa John's and help him and hook him up with the general insurance.
Or his big cluck chicken place, whatever it's called.
Careful with that pronunciation there.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Number one, I want...
Elvis doing some heavy lifting.
And number one, I want these aliens to know about the great sport of football. So my number one representative is John Gruden. I'm sending him out there to teach the aliens the X's and O's.
Real John Gruden or his famous impersonator?
I'll send the real one, but either one. I mean, if we can't, if we can't book the real one,
we should send Frank Caliendo. He could play the entire American population.
Oh, that's true.
Even the dead ones. He could introduce them to John Madden. we should send Caliendo. That's the only admission. Otherwise, a flawless list, Johnny. That was very well done. All right, so for my Mount Rushmore plus one, I'm going to follow up. I promised the part two on this one. It might be a part three, part four, part five. There's endless nominations for this Mount Rushmore plus one. But a few weeks ago, I did a Don't Google Me list. After it was in celebration of Kurt Cignetti winning the national championship, because he famously said, when asked about his resume, Google me, I win. These athletes and people do not want you to Google them. The people on the last list, part one, were Brett Favre. No explanation either there for multiple reasons. Joe Colan, he was the Lions assistant coach who got drunk and fell asleep in Wendy's drive-thru. Eugene Robinson, we remember what happened with him right before the Super Bowl. Najee Davenport, who pooped in a sorority girl's laundry basket.
Ugh.
And, of course, Jalen Green, who has interesting videos with teammates, let's just say. Hashtag Josh Christopher. All right, so part two of my Don't Google Me list. Number one, Plaxico Burress. I don't think Plaxico wants you to Google him. We don't even really have to Google him. We just know.
What happened.
I don't think Plaxico really wants you to Google him. Next on that list, Dante Culpepper, or anyone that was on the Vikings sex boat. I don't know if you remember that.
I forgot about that.
I think there's an ESPN documentary on it, like a 30 for 30 short or something. But that story was wild. The Vikings, actually, it was multiple boats. Saying boat is misleading. There are multiple boats in that. But I don't think Dante Culpepper wants you looking up a Vikings sex boat. Next one on the list. Yes, correct. Tiki Barber. Remember what Tiki Barber did when his wife was... I think she had cancer, and he started hooking up with one of his producers on the Today Show. Yeah, I don't know.
Tiki. I didn't know that.
That's not great. I listed them in no particular order, but that's number one. And we should put his jersey up in the Hall of Fame for worst person in sports this week. All right, so what I got? Two more. Tyreek Hill does not want you to Google him.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got, breaking his kid's arm, attacking marina workers, hitting women. He's got a laundry list of things that he doesn't want you to Google. And last but not least, most recent, so I put him here last because maybe some recency bias. I don't think Puka Nacua wants you to Google him. Like, whether it's his brother getting carjacking cars or him making anti-Semitic gestures on YouTube streams. I don't think Puka Nacua really wants you Googling him right now.
Unless you're typing in highlights behind it.
Yeah, then or he might, dating but... WWE superstar, yeah. Which is a thing for him.
I thought I was gonna have Antonio Brown on a list somewhere.
No, I think it just goes on set.
Okay.
Yeah, he's at the top of the all-time list. Like I said, we'll go through probably five parts of these, but he's at the very top of the all-time list. But yeah, those are my
by the way,
don't Google me athletes for part two.
Tiki Barber's wife was pregnant with twins when this happened.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember if it was pregnant or cancer. I must have mixed it with someone else.
I hope it's not both.
I don't think it was both. No, I think I mixed that with some other scumbag. But yeah, pregnant with twins, and he was sleeping with his producer. I think it was the Today Show? Do you have the story up?
Former NBC intern.
Oof, intern. That doesn't make it any better. All right, we got to get out. That'll do it for Mount Rushmore Plus One this week. We'll have another one next week when we're back. Maybe we'll have about 6-7 minutes left on the show. 6-7 minutes left on the show. I did that just for Cam. And we'll finish the way we always do with our worst person in sports this week, as Cam hates me.
You!
Is nominating me for worst person. And also talk about what we love from sports this week, which was my 6-7 gesture. That next when the bullpen returns.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back into The Bullpen. One final segment to go. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmore with you here. A few more moments. We'll be back next week. Aggies basketball can be heard on these airwaves coming up at 7 o'clock, so make sure you give that a listen. And we'll finish up like we always do with our worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. So my worst person in sports this week, I think it's someone who could be added to our wall of shame, the jerseys that we hang up here in the studio. You can't see them. They're just off frame. Don't worry about it. Trust me. It's definitely real. But he is someone I think could be on this list a lot because he constantly gives these not only just like bad takes but like weird takes or misinformed takes, and this one might take the cake. That is Jason McIntyre, who started The Big Lead back in the day and is now I wouldn't call him a co-host with Colin Cowherd, but he's on the show with Colin Cowherd anyway. He was talking about Mike Evans and his possible free agency or being traded this offseason, and threw in this little gem that was way off target.
That he's going to be motivated to chase a Super Bowl, hasn't sniffed one in Tampa.
Yeah.
Finals.
So Jason McIntyre saying Mike Evans, quote, never sniffed a Super Bowl in Tampa. Bro, he won one in 2020.
You do dumbass things. pretty soon you're going to be labeled a dumbass.
Well, Johnny, what is that drop even from? I haven't heard you play that one before.
I don't know. It was in the system a long time ago, and I just kind of carried it over.
I have never heard that drop before. Well done. But how do you go – how do you have a – well, it's not his show. But how are you on a show on FS1 and talking about Mike Evans and not realize he won a Super Bowl just not that long ago? Like 2020, wasn't it? The 2020 season?
I believe.
I think that sounds right.
So, because Baker's been there for, I think, 3 years now.
Yeah. So, quote, he's never sniffed a Super Bowl. He won one this decade.
I just don't know what the context is for this, because even if he hadn't sniffed a Super Bowl, he's still a Hall of Fame wide receiver. I think he's
I think the context is he was going to go try to chase a ring on a contender instead of just taking a payday with whoever would pay him the most. That's the context. He might, go to the Chiefs like DeAndre Hopkins did or something like that. But yeah, in his talk of that scenario, he, in his motivation, said he never sniffed a Super Bowl when Mike Evans most definitely sniffed a Super Bowl, because he won a Super Bowl when Tom Brady was his quarterback and then got super drunk in that celebration they did on the boats there in Tampa.
Galveston Ball High School, shout out, boom.
And threw the trophy.
Oh, yeah, they tossed it from boat to boat. That was quite fun. All right, Cam, who is your worst person in sports this week?
Mine is not just one person. It's a whole organization. The moment I heard that there was talks of expanding March Madness teams.
Yeah, that was something we did, that was in the rundown, but we didn't get a chance to get to it. Oh. So I'm guessing you're fully out on that.
I hate that idea.
Yeah, I do too.
It's already like it. Flooded, and I don't need to see like Mariola Loyola at 15 and 22 getting
into
like
that Australian reporter. That little slurred there. Mariola Loyola Iguanas.
I just went and took a shot of energy drink.
Did you?
Okay. No, I did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Honestly, I don't think they needed. I didn't think they needed to expand from 64 to 68 when that happened a decade or whatever ago. Like I, and now the talk I believe is 76. I've even heard people talk of 128. Like, ugh.
Like, I mean, I get in the day that we live where you can now pay athletes and you can kind of level the playing field. Sure, but we still haven't seen that in college basketball enough. Like it's still like
we
the
have
same.
Seen playing teams make a Final Four, but not win.
Yeah,
not win a title. Yeah, I just
and it's still rare.
Yeah, like, it's still rare. It's like I think two teams, like VCU and
like Wichita State or something.
No, that wasn't Wichita State. Might have been Syracuse, but yeah, I have no interest in expanding the field. All right. Let's stop swimming with the anger sharks in our last 2 minutes. Talk about what we loved in sports this week while we go ahead and doggy paddle over to the Sea of Tranquility. I saved this one for this show in particular because I know Cam likes 6'7". And there's a baseball team, the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, a minor league baseball team, that is having a brain rot night on June 7th, 2026. Cam, what date is June 7th? No, come on, Cam. Just what's the date
of June 7th?
Yeah, June 7th. John, help him out with the joke.
6-7.
There we go. I wasn't sure if Cam was avoiding it or if he was like, "Oh, it's a Wednesday, sir." I couldn't tell.
No, I was about to go look for June 7th. I hate you for trying to include me in that bit.
Yeah. So the Pensacola Wahoos are hosting this night on 6-7. The promotion Brain Rot Night comes with the description of the event. This is directly from their Twitter account. 6-7, leave your brain at the door and pay your phantom tax. It's Brain Rot Night at Blue Wahoo Stadium. We'll be celebrating all things that you see scrolling your phone while you should be reading a book, talking to your family, or touching grass. Skibbity on down to the ballpark, rizz up your moots like your baby Gronk, and get ready for a night of baseball maxing.
They're trying way too hard.
Yeah, they're trying
I'm sorry.
I didn't understand.
I was kind of okay with some of it, but a lot of that stuff is just all. It's just all internet.
Like
bull crap.
I understood.
Yeah.
I understood Riz. I've heard Skibbity.
I hate them now.
For but the I did understand
they,
all of that.
For the fact that they mentioned Baby Gronk in here.
Oh, I know. I know it.
I work with children, so
I know. All right, we got to wrap up. Cam, quickly, very quickly. What'd you love from sports?
Oh, I absolutely love the Teddy Bridgewater bill.
Yeah, that's cool. Vindication for Teddy Bridgewater.
Seriously.
All right, that'll do it for the bullpen. For Cam Smith, for John Belmer, I've been Brian McDonald. Still Brian McDonald. That was weird phrasing. We'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend, Houston. Suck it, Canada.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.